Do you want to make it moo, or are you not ready to make it moo yet? Oh, he did it, listeners. He made it moo. He did the old party trick. Make the cow moo.
Make it moo on him.
Make it moo.
Hello, listeners. Make it moo. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Brian. Hello, listeners. Welcome to the milk question.
How are you, Mark?
Yeah.
The milk question, Mark?
Question mark with, yeah, welcome to the milk question with Mark and Mark. Mark Cow and Mark Cow. We're on a quest to comprehensively review all the different flavors of milk.
I know you're not saying mock, but it sounds like you're saying mock. Like
mock.
Mock one, mock
like
two.
Mock five.
Mock cow.
Yeah. It's where the plane goes really slowly, but it fools the other planes. Slow as a cow. Quick, Captain, slow as a cow. The MiG blasts past. Ugh. They thought you were going to zig, but you...
You zagged.
You slowed.
You moved. Yeah.
That's right.
That's the classic, I'll hit the brakes, he'll fly right by.
It's true. I call that the old Mark Cow maneuver.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Oh, my God. Brian, I'm so tired. You don't know this, but I've just got back from a big dinner.
Oh, Daniel, how was it?
Saturday night, it was perfectly passable. Had a mushroom ravioli. Ravioli. Why did I say it like that? Ravioli.
Daniel? Yeah.
Couple of beers a few hours ago. I'm on a low ebb, Brian. I'm on a low swing. The old Daniel chariot is swinging low. The energy is abated.
All right, Daniel. Well, I am freshly out of bed. And I can't stop thinking about Kerbal Space Program, so this is going to be a great episode, I'm sure.
Listeners, Brian's been playing some Kerbal Space Program, because for some reason it's 2013 where he is, and we're all still obsessed with Kerbal Space Program, and watching Robaz videos online, landing on Moon.
I just find it's a very soothing game.
Yeah. I mean, it's really good. And it's really very, very good.
It's slow. There's a lot of thinking. And then there's a lot of just like watching things float in space. Yeah.
But there's a lot of tension and also a great sense of success in watching those things float correctly.
Yeah.
And then, can I land the thing? No, I can't, but maybe I could have. You try again for another half hour.
I think the thing I need to do in Kerbal Space Program is get in the habit of quick saving more often, which was a habit it took me a while to learn when I played Skyrim, but that was pretty effective because I'm not like amazing at games, and I'm not trying to be like, you know, perfect. So I don't feel guilty about quick saving and reloading, especially
save scumming, they call it,
especially in Skyrim, like, because I would travel such long distances and just run, like running across the map, and then if I lost all of that, I feel like Kerbal is the same way, where you might do nothing but it takes a bunch of time, and then you just want to like save so that you don't have to do all of that nothing again.
Yeah. Get killed by a giant, and then you're like, oh no, I had only just unlocked stabilizers for my horse.
Exactly.
So, I have to play through that again. Yeah. Wait, hang on. So, Brian, forgive me for this, but last time we talked, had you played Skyrim, or is you playing Skyrim a new thing?
No, I've played Skyrim a long time ago, Daniel.
Oh, okay. No, I'm mad. I'm crazy. I've gone completely bananas, listeners.
I played Skyrim before I ever even talked to you one time.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was life like for you back then?
When I played Skyrim?
No, when you didn't know me.
Daniel, it was dark. It was drab. It was
drinking milks on your own.
It was as if the world was in black and white, and the milks were all unflavored.
Yeah.
The world was a Holstein. And the milk was all skim, Daniel.
But now it's all
full cream. All
full cream,
from,
that's right.
From Guernsey cows. Brian.
Thanks.
Jersey cows.
He's got
cows.
The milk from that H1N1 cow or whatever it was.
Exactly.
Mm.
I don't remember what it was.
All the spectrums.
I can't correct you.
No.
Speaking of that, I did drink another Alexander Farms chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm.
I bought one because as a practice, I try not to milk drinks that I haven't drank on the podcast yet. So I am limited only to drinks I've drank in the past. And it was okay the second time around. I feel like the second time around I was a little less impressed with it. And it has a chalkiness that I quoted in the review from the Fool's Errand guy. JP?
Who cares?
Something?
That guy. We don't talk about him anymore.
Mr. Errand.
Errand.
Yeah, it was like really cocoa-y and just not super exciting. So
Errand Fool.
Still good chocolate milk, but yeah.
Fool's Errand, more like Foal's Errand. What an amateur, like a baby cow.
Yeah. Do they call baby cows foals, or is that just
what?
Horses?
Oh shit, it's horses. Fuck, Brian. Fuck. They call them calves. It's not a foal. A foal is a horse, you dickhead. What are you doing?
I feel like they shouldn't use a word that could sound so similar to cow, right? Cow, calf, calves, cows.
Or maybe, yeah.
Especially for people like you who have different accents from mine. You might say them in ways that sound more similar to each other.
It's probably based on how baby cows try and say the word cow.
Ah.
The baby cow speech impediment.
That makes sense.
Like mama and mother. It's like, oh, they're so similar. Yeah, because a baby said it.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, good point. Great point, Daniel. I'm glad that we have uncovered that mystery. So, Daniel?
Yeah. Yeah, Brian. What?
Daniel, what do you think about this? What if, instead of having strawberry banana as different flavor types, we had fruit as a flavor type?
Yeah, totally.
And then would pina colada go into the fruit flavor type?
Yeah, coconut's a fruit.
And pineapple's a fruit.
Pineapple's a fruit.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think Brian is picking up on the fact that I've just added two milks to the milk chooser, to the Rotolacta. A segment of the Rotolacta has been filled in with new milks, and one of them might be a fruit flavor.
It might be. Just
yeah,
might
it might be.
We
it's
don't
hard
know.
To tell.
We don't know
yeah,
what is
I
and isn't
I wrote
a
it
fruit.
On a really greasy segment of the Rotolacta. Lots of just lactic grease. It's kind of hard to read my writing. Mongo-flavored milk? What's Mongo?
Mongo Jerry. Oh, is that really how you spell chocolate? Apparently I've looked at the word chocolate enough that my brain now thinks it's spelled wrong.
Yeah, well, it's hard to spell chocolate.
Even when
chocolate.
It's not.
It's like sol de air.
Is a camel a fruit, Daniel?
What?
Camel, is that fruit?
No, camel's not a fruit. Saltbush might be. It's more of a botanical, isn't it, saltbush?
All right, Dan, would you put the Calpico soda melon in the fruit flavor or the unique flavor? category.
I think that's unique.
What about Siggy's strawberry yogurt? Is that yogurt or is that fruit?
That's yogurt. This fruit yogurt. This is impossible.
Daniel,
we need an auditor. We need an independent auditing body to come in and look at this shit show.
We need a taxonomist. I'm leaving the Oak Allen's pineapples as a candy and not a fruit flavor.
Yeah, because Allen's pineapples are candies, not fruits. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that assessment of the milk topology. Typography.
Taxonomy.
Topology?
Daniel.
Topology.
Taxonomy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't do that. All right. Well, that... Oh, shit. Well, fruit is still way down at the bottom of our pile with an average of 306. Ouch.
Ouch. So, listeners, I hope you've really enjoyed our regular segment, Shitting Around with the Format. What new changes will we make today? Now we review sandwiches.
We've reminded people of some of the milks we drank in the past, Daniel. It's all fair game. All right. Well, okay. Sure. Let's move on then, Daniel. Spin us a rotolactor.
Yeah, okay, sure. All right, sure. You want me to do it? I'll spin it? Are we ready to spin, really? Sorry, you're really going to need to lead my hand through this, Brian.
Daniel, I am ready to spin.
Okay, cool. Me too. And so is the rotolactor. Okay, and time to give the handle of the rotolactor, located at the back of the rotolactor, attached to a large cog which engages with a second cog. It's fixed to a system of bearings which make this giant wheel spin. You know, like a rotolactor. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Okay. Huh? A modest spin today, Brian. Okay, that was the last little bit of movement from the rotolactor, ladies and gentlemen. It's ceased moving entirely.
That was a good spin, Danielle.
Thank you, Brian. That's nice of you. Good to have that little voice of support.
I'll tell you, Danielle, what has come up. Are you ready
to
find out?
Sure, if you feel like it. Am I ready to what? No. Am I ready to know? No, Brian. I mean, no? Yes, Brian.
Okay. Well,
what did you get?
I'm still trying to figure out if you just said yes or no to whether to the are you ready question. Daniel.
No? Yes or no? No.
Daniel,
yes?
Today I will be drinking Grace Harbor chocolate milk. And this is...
Add another drop to the Brian Sea. The great Brian-y sea of chocolate milk.
This is my natural, you get all the cream, never separated, non-homogenized, full-fat milk.
Oh, it's an exciting chocolate milk, is it?
It says shake well, and they are not lying about that. There is a big layer...
It's got chunks.
There's a layer of cream on the top, and there's a layer of chocolate on the bottom, and I'm going to need to mix the shit out of this.
Yeah.
I need one of those. Have you ever gone to the store and had them mix you, the hardware store, and had them mix you a paint color?
I have, yeah.
You know the little, like, shaker they put it in?
Yeah, a vibrator. You need a vibrator, Brian.
Yeah, a paint vibrator, Daniel.
A vibrator, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Down at Bunnings? Yeah.
Down at Bunnings.
Do you have Bunnings is in America?
No, Daniel.
Oh, weird.
Daniel, you want to know what the ingredients are in this milk?
Let me guess. Full cream, unpasteurized milk. Chocolate.
No, Daniel.
Stabilizers. Okay.
Grade
A. Tell me, Brian.
Grade A.
I do want to know, yes.
Grade A. Vat pasteurized milk.
Ooh.
It's pasteurized, which is good, because it means I won't die. It's non-homogenized, which means I'm going to drink fatty chunks.
Yeah.
The second ingredient is organic Dutch cocoa powder.
Oh.
The third ingredient is 10 to 12% cocoa butter.
Oh, really?
And the fourth and final ingredient, Daniel, is organic cane sugar.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's cool. It.
That sounds a little bit more exciting than the Grumpy Farmer fancy real chocolate in a milk, chocolate milk that I had. That sounds a little bit more like they did it. They really did it.
And the label looks like it was printed by a machine, not handwritten.
By a grandma.
By a grandma. All right, Daniel, I'll tell you, and you, Daniel.
Oh, me? Oh, I've got a drink of milk.
You'll be excited to learn that today you are going to be drinking a liter of mango milk.
The mango milk.
Mongo. Hooray, Jerry a liter. And Milko teaser.
Yeah. Bannister Downs mango. Cool.
What is Bannister Downs, Daniel? We've never had that brand before. Where did they come from?
Well, they came from the, let me see, the Water Hall IGA in East Guildford.
Is it like a local brand?
It's like a little, is it local? Bannister Downs Dairy, 1924. Where was this brewed? Wow, 15% fresh orchard mango.
Wow.
Free of preservatives and colors. 1 liter, all natural. So.
Mine is from Custer, Washington.
Ooh. Hang on. Enjoy an ice cold, freshly blended. Okay, so I'm going to give something away. This is a brand of milk in a bag. This milk is in a bag.
This milk is in a bag?
Yeah.
Can you explain that further? I'm holding, further?
You know, a plastic bag. This milk comes in a plastic bag.
Just a loose bag? Not even like no. Does the bag come in a box like box wine?
No, it's just in a bag. It's on the shelf in a bag.
Like
in the
fridge
section, standing
Ziploc
up.
Bag?
It's like a. No, I have to cut. Oh no, it's a tear off. I tear a corner of the bag and it's open. Does this bag have a handle, Brian? Well, yes, sir, it does. It's a sausage of air trapped on the right hand side, obviously by some kind of vacuum sealer. Fresh and light, it says on the handle. And so they've got three flavors of milk, this brand of milk. They've got full cream milk, they've got high-low milk, and then they've got this mango milk, and they call it mango smoothie. So we're not in the business of drinking smoothies. We drink flavored milk. And looking at those three milks on the shelf, I made the decision that this is a mango smoothie flavored milk because it's just in amongst the milks. It's not in the smoothie section, it's in the milk section. So I got it. But it's going to be saying mango smoothie a lot on the back. I'm just going to prepare you for that.
Oops.
Mango smoothie, pasteurized and homogenized milk beverage. Go on, Brian, sorry.
So it's just milk and mangoes blended together and then put in a bag?
Let's have a look. Enjoy an ice-cold, freshly blended mango smoothie made using Australian orchard-grown mangoes and our delicious farm-fresh milk packaged on-farm in Eclane's sustainable pouch. Ecolean's sustainable pouch. I'm just going to be drinking from a sustainable pouch, Brian. Mango smoothie is free of preservatives, colouring, or artificial flavouring, and it's 99% fat-free from Matt and Sue Dawberry. Ingredients, farm fresh milk, spring water, fresh mango, apple juice, sugar, vegetable gum, citric acid, natural mango flavors. Microwavable once open. Cool. Made in Australia. That's all the information. Yeah, I've just got to listen to this. That's me manhandling the bag.
Squishing your bag.
Yeah. I can, hold this bag in the middle, and with it on its side, I can, jerk it back and forth, and I can feel the volume of milk increase on the left and right-hand side, like I'm kind of masturbating the bag a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna. Is there any barrier between me and like tearing open this bag of milk and pouring it into this glass here?
No, Daniel. There's no barrier. Go for it.
Oh, fantastic! This is exciting. It's quite tough. Okay, I got it. All right. Yeah, it's an open bag of milk. I'm going to tip it into this glass.
Daniel, I'll have you know that in shaking my milk, it took me a moment to actually... took me a moment of shaking to dislodge the milk to the point chunks. Where it would start mixing.
Oh, boy. You're going to have a hard time swallowing that milk, Brian.
I can see white chunks floating around in it.
Yeah. It's a full experience, isn't it?
It's a nice, yeah. I think like for a non-homogenized milk, maybe an opaque bottle would be better.
Yeah.
Although it is a pretty nice.
Did you ever watch? Go on. Sorry, I talked over you. Oh, silly old Dan running off at the mouth again. Blah blah blah. Poor little Brian trying to talk. Can't get a word in edgeways. Go on, Brian.
It's a nice brown color. The milk seems to be.
Yeah. Did you ever watch David Lynch's Dune movie?
Daniel, I haven't actually watched it all the way through in one go, I don't think.
All right. Well, in David Lynch's Frank Herbert's Dune, there's a bunch of bad guys, right? Baron
Harkonnen.
What's his face? Yeah, floating man, corpulent, disgusting.
Yes.
All kinds of stuff. And in the movie, he's got lots of disgusting, weird, deformed underlings. And yes. One of them has a little... At one stage, they pull out just a little glass cage with a rat in it. And they click a button on this cage. And then a little hydraulic press crushes the rat. And then all the sort of rat goo comes out of a straw at the top. And you need something like that in your unhomogenized milk, just to quickly crush it through a sieve, maybe. So it's like an instant homogenization kind of thing, a self-homogenizing bottle.
You're just saying I should like have a rat in a cage, and I should homogenize it.
Yeah, or the like milk, the massive corporations should construct millions of single-use homogenizers to be thrown in a recycling bin and then buried in Africa.
Sounds efficient and good for everybody.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, I can't wait to hoe into these 15% fresh orchard mango drink things in my cup. When can I do it? Do we have to do the chat timer? Do we have a sip first? Can I have a sip?
We have to sip first and then we begin chat timing, Daniel.
Alright, I'm gonna sip.
You might have noticed the conspicuous absence of a Shut Up Daniel segment.
Oh, you finished your book, Brian. How was it?
No, I just stopped reading it.
You think you learnt enough about milk?
I think I was just getting to the flavor milk bits.
I'm going to learn about
sand
or carp or ladders or something else by this guy.
Ladders. I would like to read about the history of the world through ladders.
Yeah. The Franciscan monk, Angelo Bladderly, traveled to, I don't know, the United Arab Emirates in 1305. He saw the locals constructing ladders from horses. Disgusting, he said. Filthy, uncouth people. Ptolemy once said, to climb a ladder in the summer months is akin to drinking poison straight from a snake.
Daniel, have
Alexander
you had your sip
was
yet?
Rumored to have climbed a ladder. What?
Have you had your sip yet?
Go on, say that again. Yeah, I had a sip.
My first sip was impeded by
a chunk making its way through.
Large chunk.
You know what I just realized? Your mouth is the homogenizer, Brian.
You gotta
press that chunk with your tongue against the roof of your mouth and really homogenize it around.
That is what I did, then, Daniel.
Yeah. You can do that and then strain it back and forth through your teeth like a baleen whale. The human mouth is all the homogenization we've ever needed.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of homogenizers.
See, so we can't pasteurize with our mouth as well.
I bet we can. Just need some hot chilies in there too.
No, we just, what we would need to do is evolve. What we need to do is deliberately drink unpasteurized milk to the point where we evolve so that the people whose like saliva is strong enough to kill the bacteria and stuff.
Yeah.
Are the only people left. And then when we evolve to that point, we'll be self-pasteurizing.
Yeah, I think in one of the early Ridley Scott alien drafts, that's how the aliens got their acid blood. First, they got acidic saliva from pasteurizing their own milk in their mouths. And then just natural selection took off from there.
Daniel, was your
grump... All of a sudden... Go on.
Was your grumpy farmer not homogenized?
I think it was... I don't remember. I think it was pasteurized, but not homogenized. Unhomogenized.
I feel like this experience of chunks in the mouth is pretty memorable. I feel like you would remember that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I remember chunks in the mouth.
Okay, then that's...
I had chunks all up and down my mouth.
I'm still shaking my...
You remember? I put mine through a metal sieve, and then I dropped it all over my desk like a dick.
My gosh. Okay. Why don't you chat time us, Daniel, which will be...
Yeah.
Which I will use as a shake timer, and at the end of the 5 minutes of shaking, I'll try drinking again.
Let's have a chinwag, Brian. Let's exercise our homogenizers. All right. The arrow's pointing at the 5 on the chat timer, the official milk question chat timer.
Daniel...
Oh, Brian's got a topic. Thank God.
Do I?
What?
This is slightly topical, which maybe isn't great, but do you have...
No, that's good. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the 12th of September, 2020. It's 10:39. Oh, no, it's just clicked over to 10:40 p.m. here in Perth, Western Australia, and it's probably, what, 8 in the morning over where in Seattle, Washington?
It's 7:40 a.m. over here in Seattle, Washington. I'm looking out my window at what can only be described as a semi...
Big fire.
Apocalyptic, yellowish-orange, haze sky. I know that Australia was having quite a lot of wildfires earlier this year before COVID came in and changed the news cycle. Do you get the fires over in Western Australia too?
Yeah, we get the fires, but we didn't get the worst of those fires, the really big fires. That was... we got a few concurrent bushfires, but none of them really raged out of control here in Western Australia. So we had it pretty lucky. Just like with COVID, we had it pretty lucky currently here in Perth, Western Australia.
Do you have a Western Australian government that takes it seriously?
COVID or the fires?
The fires or everything.
I assume someone somewhere takes it seriously.
Does the government in Canberra take it seriously, or do they just not give a shit because you guys are far away?
No, they care. I think they care. Do they care? Hang on. I'm going to follow more Australian politic personalities to figure out if my government cares about me or not.
I don't necessarily want to have a conversation about politics, I guess, but I do think it is... It's always... I don't know. As when we've had the fires like last year and other years, it's very striking to me how much our president just doesn't give a shit because the fires are happening in blue states.
Yeah.
And that feels like... It feels wrong. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
Feels like there's a severe empathy gap, possibly to the level of some sort of sociopathy, Daniel. Anyway.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Brian. I think the whole situation is fucking crazy. I think it's yeah. I saw a, who's that?
You know, Daniel, you know what's funny? You know, it's really
funny. What's up?
Really,
what's funny?
Really
Please
funny,
tell me
Daniel.
What's funny. Go on.
By the time this episode, I'm fairly confident, is going to come out after the election.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
So.
Don't put that on us. Don't put that on
depending
this.
On how that went, you can add in either a thank God or a oh, no. Editor Brian will just.
I hadn't put that together. I hadn't put that together.
Editor Brian will put in a big sigh of relief, or we'll just delete everything and move to the moon.
There's a political cartoonist and caricaturist called Eli Valley, in America, and I saw his he did a caricature of Donald Trump. And normally my eyes, like, I don't know, maybe it's just being on Twitter, but anytime I see the American president's name or face, my eyes, like, slip away somewhere else because it makes, like, you know, get a visceral reaction. But this caricature is, like, it's the most grotesque thing I've ever seen. It's truly grotesque. It's truly grotesque. And this is the one depiction of the American president which I feel comfortable looking at. Because I'm like, okay, yeah, this is the acceptable level of disgust that I'm finally experiencing looking at this picture. I retweeted it a little while ago. You can probably find it.
Probably. Oh, yeah. Where he, it's very much a Baron Harkonnen kind of vibe.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Have you read Dune?
Oh, I have read Dune, actually. I quite liked it.
I read it recently.
I had it read to me by my old friend, Scott Brick.
Ah.
Ah, thank God, Scott Brick saved us from talking about the fucking American president.
Thank God.
At the very end of the chat timer.
Well, Daniel.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry you're American.
Me too.
Sorry you don't have a better healthcare system, and I'm sorry you have the big shit in the office running things like he does. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, quite a lot of other countries have
the big shit
in the office.
Yeah, quite a lot of countries have all kinds of stuff, yes. All right, cool.
Time to milk?
Time to score,
Brian.
Time to score.
Let's score this milk.
No, I meant make love to each other. I'm going to score tonight. Uh-oh. Oh, you want to review milk instead? Fine.
I'm just going to score the milk.
How embarrassing.
Daniel, can
okay,
you
cool.
hear anything?
Bye, everyone. Here's the interlude.
No, Daniel, we're not having an interlude. We're just scoring the milk.
Oh.
Is there noise, Daniel?
Whose noise?
Can you hear noise?
No, never.
Oh, that was a noise.
Oh, yeah, that was your noise.
Oh, I know what it is. God damn it. Okay, here we go.
It's a Kerbal Space Program. Have your Kerbals just crashed into Mars or something?
Is this a good score for the milk, Daniel?
Oh, Brian, I get it. What is this, Interstellar?
I finally got it. No, Daniel.
I finally got it. Listeners, he made a joke about scoring the milk.
My computer technology just made that joke take way longer than it needed to.
It's okay, I was along for the ride.
Have you figured out what it is, Daniel?
It's a score, Brian. You asking me to figure out what score?
I mean, it's not Interstellar.
So if it's not Interstellar, it'll be The Arrival, won't it?
No.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun. I'm interested to guess. Hang on, let me listen a little longer. Is it a, No, tell me, goddammit, Brian.
Daniel, it is the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
The Two Towers.
Oh, I see.
Helm's Deep. By Howard Shore.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is. So, if I'd waited for long enough, it would have gone... Dun-dun-dun! And then I would have gotten immediately.
Is that the Lord of the Rings noise?
It's my favourite bit of... I just remember sitting in the theatre as a younger man, as a small child, as a kid, however old I was, when those things happened. And hearing it go... Dun-dun-dun! Going, oh! I hope those Ents really mess up Saruman.
I think if you heard this part, maybe you...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That part is...
This is a Lord of the Rings all up and down.
That's a very iconic Lord of the Rings motif, I think.
Yeah, it is.
And now it's time for Daniel K. Recommends.
Do you like podcasts, Brian?
Yeah, I do, Daniel.
Do you get a chance to listen to many of them? Are you often looking for new podcasts?
I'm open to new podcasts sometimes. I haven't been listening very much now that I don't, like, commute anywhere. But every now and then I will fire up some video games and just listen to podcasts and play games.
Mm.
I listened to your whole Euro Truck Simulator series while playing Rocket League over the course of a couple days.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's nice of you. I only ask because I don't really get a chance to listen to podcasts as often as I used to, but I have recently finished my second listen through of one of my favorite podcasts ever, and it's all about film scores.
Yeah. I would probably enjoy that.
So if you need a new podcast, check out Settling the Score.
And now back to the show.
Have we started the interlude yet, Brian?
Yeah.
At what point did it start?
I don't know.
I feel like it's been a pretty natural transition all the way up to this point.
I'll just, at some point after the scoring the milks joke.
Sure.
I'll just do a hard cut to you saying, have we started the interlude? It'll be super jarring.
Yeah.
It'll be perfect. And now back to the show. Daniel, are we back?
Well, that depends, Brian. Have you finished writing your notes?
Daniel, I have finished writing my notes.
Oh, good. Well,
have
Brian,
I finished writing
I
your notes?
I finished writing my notes. Yes.
All right. Then we are back.
All right. Great. Welcome
In
back,
the habit.
Everyone.
Okay. Daniel, should I go... first or second?
What did you drink again? Oh, choc milk.
Non-homogenized, fully organic chocolate milk.
No, I'll go first.
Okay.
Right. I think I can be kind of quick. Okay, so.
Ha. Ha.
This. Yeah, shut up, Brian. What do you mean, ha?
Our listeners.
What are you coming here and giving me a ha for?
You can't fool the listeners at this point, Daniel. It's been 37 episodes that we've not been quick. So
we're gonna be quick.
We're not about to start now.
We'll just be quick. Quicker than a brown fox.
Jumping over a lazy dog.
Yeah.
All right, go for it, Daniel. Even. Be quick.
All right, so I wished this was more milky.
Ah.
I see what they've done here. Brian, I don't know about supermarkets over there in America, but supermarkets over here in Australia sometimes stock fruit juice which likes to market itself as nectar. Oh, here's some mango nectar. Here's some apricot nectar. And all it is it's like a fruit juice that has had some kind of thickening agent added to it. So it's a little bit thicker than your average fruit drink. It's really sugary. It's like super smooth and slick. But just by putting the word nectar, peach nectar, mango nectar, I don't know. It's like marketing its thickness to you really well. And this mango smoothie is like the milk equivalent of that. It doesn't taste like a smoothie. It tastes like thickened fruit drink. So it's not super milky. It's still like a milk-based thing. It's not like unmilky. It's just not what I would call a milk texture in my mouth. Apart from that, the flavor is a pretty authentic tasting mango flavor. It's like, yeah, this is what mango tastes like, and it's not like offensively strong. It's sweet and it's tart. It's got that tartness that flavored milks often shy away from when they go fruity. It is tart. It's sweet but not offensively sweet. It's a good standard mango flavor. If you like mango, you'll like this milk drink. I like mango, so I like this milk drink. Special shout out goes to the Zeitgeist. Having it in a bag, this being the only brand of milk which puts itself in a bag for me, the only one that I've seen in my entire life, milk in a bag. Like, I'm grabbing that bag. And I'm handling the bag. I'm squeezing the bag. It's fun to squeeze. It's milk you can play with. It's, yeah, you can play with this milk.
Is that something you've been looking for, Daniel?
It puts itself in a format that you can play with it. Sensorily.
Milk I can play with?
It's milk I can play with.
Give it to your kids.
Absolutely.
Let them toss it around.
Yeah. They'll have a good old milky time. Absolutely. This is, well, you never knew that you wanted it until it was given to you, Brian. Well, that has been my experience anyway. Milk that I could pick up and feel the weight of it dangle like I'm holding a cat or something. Because this is just milk in a bag. It's got a pretty big Zeitgeist boost.
Milk in a bag.
Milk in a bag.
Milk in a bag, baby. Step one.
I like the little balloon handle. Honestly, the graphic design work is not exciting me, but it gets a pretty big boost for just being milk in a bag. Canadians drink milk in bags, right?
Do they?
Yeah, it's a thing in Canada.
I see it, Daniel. Yeah, that graphic design is not good.
No.
Does it have that font on yours?
The when it says mango smoothie?
Yeah, where it looks like it was... Yeah.
It's white, and it's like cursive, faux Microsoft Word cursive font.
There's like a lot of extra squiggles and shit.
Yes. Yeah. And it's over a tall, fluted glass with some uncomfortable foam at the top. Maybe there's some ice cream hidden in there. And it's a glass which looks like it doesn't actually hold that much liquid. There's not that much mango smoothie in that mango smoothie glass.
It's terrible design. Their other...
Well, it being milk in a bag, it looks better from the back.
Their normal
milks are fine. It's got a good
picture
of a cow on the back that you can look at. Their what one looks fine?
The normal milk bags look much better.
Mm.
But that's for another day when you buy a normal milk bag.
Do you see the handle?
The handle.
Yeah, it's like an orange... Like,
oh, no? Oh, yes. It's like, the carrot?
Yeah, it says fresh and light.
It looks like a carrot.
Yeah, it looks like a carrot. And this is also good to squeeze. I can really depress it with my thumb, something fierce, to the point where it's almost like a big, big bit of bubble wrap right on the verge of popping. I feel like if I give it just that little extra bit of force, I'll pop this handle. But I am too afraid to do it. But it's good to bring it right up to that edge and then take it back without popping it. I'm just fidgeting with it now. The sensory experience of this bag of milk is good. And it stands upright really well.
Daniel.
I'm not afraid of it tipping. So, my numbers. Milkiness, 35, Brian. Tastiness, 73. Good mango flavour. Nothing extravagant, though. Just solid good. Creativity, 39. They put a fruit in a milk. You don't see a fruit in a milk that often, but then it's just a mango. Stands to reason. Value, $4 for a litre. That's like... That scales perfectly with this pretty standard flavoured milk price to milliliter parcel that you normally get from a supermarket. So I'm just giving it a flat 50. Could have been cheaper. Could have been more expensive, though. The Gestalt, because of the slickness of this nectar-like liquid, it really goes down your throat easy, and it has a kind of gravity, which it feels like it's pulling more of itself down. As a little bit goes down your gullet, it's like still connected to the bit in your mouth, and it just sort of slips that little extra bit down, like a roll of film falling off a table.
That's exactly what I want.
Old acetate film. And so, yeah, you find that the milk is gone quicker and quicker out of your glass, and you refill and refill, and then it always just goes. It's a high Gestalt, it's 88. And the Zeitgeist is 75. In spite of the poor graphic design, the sensory experience of this milk in a bag is something to write home about. Brian,
all right.
back to Grandma.
Dear Grandma, today I
fondled
drank
a
milk in a bag. I squeezed it. It felt good. I wanted to cuddle it, but then I drank
small.
It all. Thinking of you. Love, Daniel.
That's right.
Daniel, you know what has great zeitgeist?
No.
Bannister Downs Dairy. I just sent you a pic.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, Daniel.
I'm following the link.
Their dairy...
You sent me a Pakuki link.
Yeah.
Here at Pakuki.com.
I don't know why. Just, you know when you search for something, you get all these random... There's all these random websites that just, like, repost Instagram content.
Oh.
But whenever I try to go to stuff on Instagram, it wants me to log in, and I can't see the photos, so... I figured, fuck it, I'll just use this. Their building is like some sort of super cool architectural thing.
It's got something going on. It does that thing, that architectural thing where like the cladding of this weird roof shade surface, the panels stop before like the interior structure. So it's almost like, I don't know.
I mean,
it's trying to look a little bit half finished.
It definitely looks
pretty cool.
The work of an architect.
It does. And if this little blurb is to be believed, it's right there at the farm.
There's just cows.
That's
to
the
creamery.
Left.
There's machinery inside
the cows
there that's
live.
Turning cows into milk.
That's right.
Daniel.
That architecture is for the cows.
The other thing I've noticed in looking up Bannister Downs is they have a milk called Spearmint Blitz.
Ooh!
And it has...
Drop the bombs right in my mouth, please, Spearmint Blitz.
It has good zeitgeist, too. And...
Oh, yeah.
And we know that mint spearmint is a good flavor.
It is.
I think you might have a strong contender there for the best milk you've ever drank.
Well, I have to hunt that one down. I've never seen that before.
The post was from 6 months ago.
Huh. Well, I'll go down to my local grocer and ask them about Spearmint Blitz. From the Betty's Milk Bar branding arm of the Bannister Downs Dairy Creamery factory.
Daniel, this
machine.
This creamery was on a long list for the Dezine. I don't know how you pronounce that, but an architecture it's award.
Design, Brian.
No,
you pronounce it design.
You know, it's a it's like the magazine or whatever, the website, Dezeen, D-E-Z-E-E-N.
Okay.
It was on their list of their long list for their awards for the best architecture in 2019.
Oh, cool.
Definitely the work of an architect and not an engineer.
Definitely. Mmm. Oh, I liked that bit of magma.
Yeah, that's a great bit of magma.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, cool. All
right. Bye, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, that was a good episode, Brian. I really felt tired at the start, but I still feel pretty tired now. I don't think anyone would have noticed, though.
Yeah. That's great, Daniel. I'm going to go off to bed now.
Yep, off to bed now. Wait a second. Your scores, Brian. Do them now.
Daniel.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm paying attention. Everyone at home is listening, too.
I love this milk.
Oh!
It's
lumps and all.
It's so good. Daniel, the chunks are...
Yep.
The thing about the chunks is it's very disconcerting as they enter your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But as you squish them...
Yep.
It's just a chunk of cream. Like, sort of like... It reminds me a little bit of like clotted cream that you would have on a scone.
Sure.
Or just a creamy chunk. It's very buttery. And it tastes... The chunks taste really good. But as I've been drinking it, Daniel, I've been just continuing to shake it more.
Yep.
And for the last, like, third of the bottle or so, I haven't really had any chunks. And it's just been a really smooth, creamy, chocolatey milk. And... Yeah, it's just, it's a really good chocolate milk. It's tastes like real chocolate. Similar flavor to the Alexander Farms ones, but which was also like a real cocoa-y flavor, but the Alexander Farms one was more, a little more chalky. It felt like they put too much powder into a milk.
Too much chalk.
This one doesn't quite have the chalkiness, plus it has this like over the top creaminess, and I really appreciate that about it. It's delicious. It's milky. It's filling. It has delicious creamy chunks in it.
It's like a drink and a food all in one.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's
like putting a hamburger in a glass of Coke and then blitzing it up.
If this was the
sucking it down.
If this was the only chocolate milk that I drank of the
it's your desert island
of
chocolate
the milks
milk.
On this list, I would be fine with that. It's so good. It's just really good. That's all.
Sure.
That's all I can say, Daniel. My only real knock against it is it was a lot of work. A lot of shaking. Constant
get a sore
shaking.
Jaw from all this work.
Well, it wasn't as much work to drink as it was to just shake it nonstop.
Yeah.
But other than that, enough. It's a great
gotta
milk.
Get that vibrator.
It's in like a semi-clear plastic bottle, which is... I don't know what it reminds me of, but it reminds me of something positive, like, I don't know, childhood, like school camp trips or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like that solid plastic that, I don't
know. Yeah, it's not flimsy plastic.
Yeah, which the Alexander Farms one was in a flimsier plastic. I don't know, it feels like a real solid milk. I mean, obviously a glass bottle would be better, but it is what it is.
It is. Brian, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you eat mangoes? What's your mango eating method?
I don't eat mangoes very much, but I would probably slice it up following some sort of YouTube tutorial and then eat the slices.
I come from a big mango family. My family loves mangoes, and I love mangoes too.
Actually...
And so growing up... What?
I just remembered a way that I eat mangoes, but...
Go on. No. I want to hear.
I would cut off, like, a side of the mango.
Yeah, a cheek.
A cheek, and then slice the cheek in a grid pattern.
Exactly.
And then
you invert
flip it.
It
out.
You turn it inside
turn
out.
Turn it inside out.
And then the cubes of mango you just chomp with your teeth.
Yeah.
Off the inside of the cheek.
I don't think that's...
The mango chop.
That's also good if you want to put mango into like a fruit salad or something, but I don't think it's really the most efficient way of getting the mango.
Well...
Because you leave a lot of mango on the pit with this method.
Well, so my... for the longest time, my mango eating method was to do that, to de-cheek the mango, chop its chops off, and then do the dicing of the inside of the cheek flesh and then invert it so that like the dices pop out and you chomp it. And then you're left with all that flesh around the pit and the center. Well, my friend, if you make an incision at the top of the mango, you can peel the skin right off around that disc at the center of the mango. And now you can get your little teeth in there and just like strip the flesh off the pit, all that excess flesh. And this is actually what I'm going to get at. That bit of the mango tastes different. It has a pit kind of flavor, like a maybe a slightly more tart, mango-y, like husky, fibrous. It has a special mango pit kind of flavor. And I've just been sitting here drinking this drink, this mango milk drink.
And it tastes like that?
It has that flavor.
Huh.
Yeah, it tastes like the pit of the mango when you bite the pit with your teeth and suck the mango flesh off it.
Hmm.
It's quite nice that it has that.
There you go.
There you go. But, ladies and gentlemen, there's one last thing I want to say about mangoes. I don't use that method anymore. I have discovered a better way to eat mangoes. All right? It's a little bit more work, but it's a lot more reward. And I recommend that we all try this method at the next possible opportunity when we see a mango in the shop. Are you ready for the patented Daniel K way to eat a mango?
Yeah.
All right. You get the mango. You get maybe a knife, but maybe just your fingernails, and you peel the skin off. You now have an entirely naked mango. The flesh is exposed. There is no skin. You want to get a receptacle, a bin bag, if you will, and you want to take the mango, and you want to take the bin bag, and you want to take your naked body, because you don't have any clothes on at this point, and you want to take it into the shower. Turn the shower on. You know you're in a hot shower. Just out of the shower, you've got the bin bag, because you want to have something to throw the waste in.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got a whole mango, and you just dig your teeth right into the mango. You can fit, like, your whole mouth full of the mango flesh. Like, you've never had a fuller mouth before. And there's, like, the mango, there's so much of it. It can give you so much. And doing it this way, you have to be in the shower. Because it goes fucking everywhere. It goes, your whole face, neck, your chin, your chest.
Uh-huh.
All the lower regions all up and down you is covered in mango at this point. But there's still more mango. There's more and more. Somehow, through some mango magic, there's more mango when you do it like this. Peel the skin off, get in the shower, eat it with your hands and your teeth. Eat the whole mango like this, and then strip the flesh off the pit that's left, and then you throw it in the receptacle. It is an experience that you have just got to have.
Wow.
What were your scores, Brian? Go on.
That really was something, Daniel.
I can't have not said that, can I?
No, you can't. That needed to be said.
It's a hearty and heartfelt recommendation, Brian and listeners.
So, Daniel, my scores are, as you can imagine, good.
Good.
I think I don't really see how chocolate milk could get better than this.
You're like a little baby. Oh, this rattle is my favorite toy ever. Oh, here comes Mum with a new rattle. Oh, I love this rattle.
Is that true?
Oh.
Is that true, Daniel? Do I like every new milk I drink?
No, that's very cruel of me. No, often you're critical of the new chocolate milk that you're drinking each week, Brian.
I do think this one is really good. There's nothing else. I don't know. I have no defense, Daniel.
No, I don't really feel that way, Brian. I trust that this is really good, and I wish I could also drink it. Or shake it, and then drink it.
Yeah. And maybe I'm weird, but I actually, like, after the first couple of chunks, I liked the chunks. I didn't mind them.
Yeah, that does sound weird.
Well, they're really good. It's like eating a little bit of, like, butter or cream, just like... Not quite as heavy as butter, but yeah.
Mm.
It's just like a little fresh cream chunk. There's nothing wrong with that. And when you squish it down with your tongue and mix it up with the milk in your mouth, it's great.
Great.
So, Daniel.
It's great.
I'm giving this a very high milkiness.
Yeah.
Of 96.
Yep. 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 Fair, fair, fair.
How would you get milkier?
Fair life. Dairy Gold.
Tastiness, Daniel. So, I looked at some of the other tastes on the charts, and definitely this is not quite the flavor explosion that Yakult is.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's pretty good.
It's
isn't
really
it?
Good taste. So, 94 for tastiness.
Ah. Oh. This mango, on any other day, I feel like it should have been the milk of the day. Well, let's just see how it goes, listeners. Let's see how it goes.
Creativity, as we know, chocolate milk is not very
creative. Oh, it's fallen.
Also, Daniel, also, I think not homogenizing the milk, they've done less to make the milk here than most of the other milks on the board.
Zero creativity.
No, I'm giving them a 3 for creativity.
Yeah, take that, you old wanker.
But that's a sign of, you know, quality as well sometimes, because sometimes the creative milks taste terrible. Sometimes it's fine to not be creative and just make a milk that's good. You know?
You hear that, Australian milk industry?
Yeah. Fuck. Give up on the fucking Oak Allen's fantails and just make a damn chocolate milk. All right, Daniel, value. This, surprisingly, was only $2.50 for this pint bottle. Which isn't cheap, but it's also not bad, not expensive. And the value scores on our list are a little bit wonky, I think. It's also really good. So, decent price, and you get a really good milk for it. And what more could you ask for? So I've given it a 92.
Oh! Wonky, huh?
Yeah, our value scores are something. Anyway. Gestalt. 83.
Ah, I beat your Gestalt, though.
It's very drinkable, despite the chunks.
Is it? And it's more chewable, isn't it?
And the work that you have to do to make it drinkable. But
Yeah.
It's still so good that it feels worth it. And I finished my bottle and I want more. And I want this to be the only chocolate milk I ever drink again.
Like you said.
Which I think is a good sign for the gestalt.
It's pretty high endorsement, you're right.
And the zeitgeist, it's not the most amazing zeitgeist, but it's just nice. It's nothing that really makes you, nothing that repels you. There's a little like photo, maybe a photorealistic painting of a brown cow sitting on a grassy hillside overlooking a harbor. I'm assuming Grace Harbor.
Mm.
And it says, you get all the cream. And they haven't put a ton of effort into it, but also they put enough to just make it fine. So it gets a 71 on the zeitgeist.
Mm. Grace Harbor Dairy is a nice sounding thing.
Yeah, that's also true. Daniel, I only wrote down...
Is it from Florida?
No, it's from Washington.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the headquarters of the Grace Harbor Incorporated Corporation.
Ah. Daniel, I'm going to need your numbers again so that we can get our totals.
Okay.
Unless...
Okay, my numbers. Are you ready?
Yeah.
97, 95, 98. No, okay, I'll start from scratch. They are, in all seriousness, Brian, 35. And then 73. So that was milkiness and tastiness.
Yeah.
And then creativity is 39.
Mm-hmm.
Then the value was 50. The gestalt, 88. And the zeitgeist, 75.
Okay.
And so now, ladies and gentlemen listening along at home, it's time that you learn what milk is the...
Milk of the day.
You can edit that in around there, right?
Yeah, sure.
Is that where you edit it in? I'm never too sure. It always
Milk of the
surprises me when it comes up in the podcast.
I try to keep it in a place that seems like it makes sense, but I think the problem is the way our conversation goes, not necessarily
the
editing.
There's not a natural break between this bit and the next bit,
except for when
it's all the same bits,
except for when you just do it just then right now like that.
Oh, you're welcome, Brian.
So I'll just leave that in, like, exactly how it happened.
Yeah, and it'll play now.
Daniel, the milk of the day is, as you may have gathered, the Grace Harbor Farms chocolate milk.
How much by, though?
With a final score of 439... And the mango, our runner-up milk of the day, landed at a 360.
All right. Well, it's less than 100 points difference, which is good, I guess. Still quite a gulf, Brian, quite a gap that you've drummed up for us on this little session of ours, isn't it?
Daniel, what can I do? I'm drinking just like straight milk over here. Straight out of the cow.
I'm drinking mango smoothie. Straight out of the bag.
Milk and chocolate and sugar. How could it possibly go wrong?
Little creamy nuggets.
Yeah, a little creamy nuggets. What more could I want?
Well,
you're depressed?
This has been a depressing episode. Not legitimately, but I do wish that my milks won more often.
Daniel, I think it's because you give them low milkiness scores.
This isn't that milky.
I think that our score calibrations maybe are off. Maybe I'm more generous on the milkiness than you.
Maybe.
On average, I give 13 more points of milkiness. I give 7 more points of tastiness. You give 30 more points of creativity.
Yeah.
I give 17 more points of value. And what is that? 14 gestalts. And 4 zeitgeists. So we're pretty similarly calibrated on the zeitgeist.
I think that actually sounds right to me.
It makes sense that if your tastinesses are generally lower than mine, then your gestalts would be lower too.
Yeah.
And your values.
I think the more creative milks
are less milky.
Often are less milky.
I mean that.
I don't think wear that out. I think this is indicative of a real difference. The Independent Arbiter podcast, which we contact to do our podcast for us for a few weeks, those hosts would have the same value scores.
Yeah.
And their milk breakdowns.
Daniel, I just sorted our thing by creativity score. And the top 10 creativities are all you.
Yeah.
The top 20 are 18 of you.
Yeah.
And then the bottom 10 are 9 me.
Yeah. I think this is real data.
That we're
seeing.
Yeah. So
we're seeing patterns in the data and we're questioning our machinery. But no, the machinery is picking up patterns.
Yeah. So I've had less creative, more milky milks, and you've had more creative, less milky milks. Which happened to generally also be maybe not very good milks.
Yeah.
Daniel, you should switch over.
I think that's accurate.
Get some. I also think of the chocolate milks we've had, you've only done 2.
Yeah. I've got a couple chocolates in my box at the moment. I've got a chocolate almond. I put something, I haven't written it on the Rotolactor long list yet, the digital Rotolactor long list, but I've picked up a grass jelly milk tea drink, which is going to be the worst thing that I've ever tasted in my life.
Nice. I do, Daniel, I appreciate, I respect, and I bow down to your commitment to not just drinking chocolate milks.
And vice versa, Brian. I also bow down to your commitment to drink only chocolate milks from now on.
If I could find other milks, Daniel, I would drink them. I'm just having a hard time getting anything that's not chocolate milk.
It's a heavy brown cross that you've got to bear, and I respect that you're doing it.
I feel like I'm done with chocolate milks now.
A brown albatross.
Like, I don't, at this point, I've gotten to like the most organic chocolate milk possible. I've drank soy chocolate milk. I've drank oat chocolate milk. I think I've like.
You've drunk chalk chocolate milk.
I think at this point I'm like, okay, I'll just
drink milk,
this.
Which isn't chocolate milk. It's actually German glue.
I'll just drink this chocolate milk from now on. I don't need to try any new ones.
Yeah, are you ready to settle down?
I feel like I've done all the chocolate milks I need to do. So
you're going to hitch your wagon to this chunky milk.
Good news is there's a 50% chance that next episode I'll be drinking chocolate milk again.
Hey, a little baby Brian. Mum's shaking a rattle. Ah, this chocolate milk.
Daniel, I can guarantee you that the next chocolate milk I drink is not going to be as good.
Okay.
You know how I know?
How do you know?
Because it's the fucking Fairlife ultra filtered shit.
Fucking Fairlife.
It has like no fat in it. And Daniel.
Oh no.
You know what we know about fat?
That you like it in your mouth and it gives you a good chewy experience when you drink this milk that you're drinking.
It makes
now.
Stuff taste good.
Does make stuff taste
like
good.
This,
you're right.
This milk I just drank was like the marbled Kobe beef of milk.
Yep.
Fairlife, yep, is going to disappoint me soon. Well, Daniel, on that note, should we call it a day?
I don't know. Has it been long enough? So why don't you like mangoes? Is it too much hassle?
It's just a lot of work, Daniel.
Hey.
And they're not often... I don't know. I don't see them very much, like in stores and stuff. And I feel like their season is really short, maybe, or something. Or it's hard.
Yeah, maybe
it's hard to get good mangoes here. I don't know. I mean, maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe I'm just
good
lazy.
Good mangoes are hard to find.
Maybe I'm just lazy and I
overlook them.
What do
you like on? No. What do you like on avocados?
What do I like on avocados?
No, what's your opinion on them? What's your take on
avocados?
Oh,
what am I like?
Yeah.
Wow, what a weird phrase. What are you like on avocados? You just asked me, what are you like on avocados?
Is that weird? Feels natural to me.
Maybe.
It's a bit late.
I mean, I'm sure it's normal. It's just like, yeah. That phrasing is very much a non-American way of talking. And I have a stupid American brain, as previously discussed. Daniel, I love avocados. I think they're delicious. I will eat them straight out of the thing. Just
absolutely
raw. I will eat them straight out of the thing, raw, with a little bit of sprinkling of salt on them. Last night...
Oh, have we talked about this already?
Salted avocado?
Yeah, because get this. This is what I'm getting at. My mum, who loves mangoes, also loves avocados. And when I was a kid...
Should we put them together?
Although they're weirdly similar things, aren't they? I think I just listened to a podcast where they talked about how similar avocados and mangoes are. But they're like the same thing, but one's green and one's orange.
Or did you listen to my podcast where we talked about the other fruit that is like a fruity avocado?
Maybe, yeah. From Mexico, was it? Or from... Yeah. Oh, that's what podcast it was. Oh, shit, I didn't mean to name drop Here's What I Was Talking About while you were... I just accidentally did that. I thought I was listening to, like...
Yeah, that other fruit wasn't a mango, though. Podcast. It was, I can't remember, but... Yeah.
But, right, here's how my mum used to give us avocados to eat, and I think this is a good way of doing it. You cut the avocado in half, you pop the seed out. What have you got there?
A little bowl.
Brian, you've got two little bowls. What do you put in the bowl? You put a bit of soy sauce in the bowl, right?
Soy sauce.
A little
in
bit
the
of
bowl.
Soy sauce. Absolutely. And then you get your little silver teaspoon, and you excavate the sides of the bowl, heading out towards the perimeter, the exterior of the avocado.
Yeah.
So you dig out like a little shovel full of avocado, and it will be a little bit saturated at the bottom. The bottom half of it will be like saturated with soy sauce. And you pop it in your gob and you have a good old swallow and you have a good old time because it's delicious. A little bit of soy sauce on a little bit of avocado. And then you just eat the bowl outwards until all you're left with is an empty skin and maybe some smidges of soy sauce because you put too much in.
Wow.
But you get to know the amount. Do that.
Do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Daniel's mum method.
All right. I will have the Daniel's method of mango and the Daniel's mum method of avocado and...
Exactly.
I'm going to be living the dream from now on.
Yeah. Listeners... Yeah, give it all a go.
Give it all a go. Well,
that's right.
I think that maybe concludes us for today, Daniel. What do you think?
Is that enough? I think so. Yeah, that'll just about do it.
This might be our longest episode of all time.
Lucky listeners.
And this is the one in which Daniel said he could be quick.
I was quick. Well, listen to Brian here. Reading his numbers, I read my numbers quicker than you read your numbers.
That's probably true.
Listeners, go back and time us. Probably true.
I never promised. Okay, well, I never promised quickness.
No.
No.
Good.
Good. All right. Well,
good.
Listeners, right. We will milk you later.
Milk you later, everyone.
On the next episode of Milking It.
Yep.
Thanks for...
See you then.
Thanks for milking.
Bye-bye.